Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om 8. Tam grihitva charanayor. Jata matram swasuk sutam. Apultayat chila prishte. Swarton mulita saurita.
Swarton mulita saurita.
Tam grihitva charanayor.
Tam grihitva charanayor.
Jata matram swasuk sutam.
Jata matram swasuk sutam.
Apotayat chila prishte.
Apotayat chila prishte.
Swarton mulita saurida.
Swarton mulita saurida.
Am.
The child.
The child.
Vihitva.
Vihitva.
Taking by force.
Taking by force.
Charanayoho.
Charanayoho.
By the two legs.
Jata
matram.
Jata matram.
The newborn child.
The newborn child.
Swasuhu.
Swasuhu.
Of his sister.
Of his sister.
Sutam.
Sutam.
The daughter.
The daughter.
Apotayat.
Apotayat.
Smashed.
Smashed.
Shila prishte.
Shila prishte.
On the surface of a stone. Swarta
unmulita.
Uprooted because of intense selfishness.
Sauridaha.
All friendship or family relationships.
All friendship or family relationships.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Having uprooted all relationships with his sister because of intense selfishness, Kamsa, who was sitting on his knees, grasped the newborn child by the legs and tried to dash her against the surface of a stone. There's no purport. I'll read the next verse myself. Satadhastat samutpatya. Sadyo devyam baramgata adrishya tanuja vishno sayudashta mahabhujao. The child, Yogamaya Devi, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upward from Kamsa's hands and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with 8 arms, completely equipped with weapons. Purport. Kamsa tried to dash the child downward against a piece of stone. But since she was Yogamaya, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, she slipped upward and assumed the form of the goddess Durga. The word Anuja, meaning the younger sister, is significant. When Vishnu or Krishna took birth from Devaki, he must have simultaneously taken birth from Yashoda also. So Prabhupada says that. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, how could Yogamaya have been Anuja, the Lord's younger sister? So we read in the commentaries already that this is Yogamaya, Krishna's spiritual deluding energy. A direct expansion of Krishna's internal pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. She's pure spirit. her influence is spiritual, benign, all beneficial. But she is appearing with her manifestation of the external material energy. Her expansion is also manifesting along with her. And she's showing in Krishna's pastimes both of her aspects. So here, Yogamaya, to reciprocate with Kamsa appropriately, is showing herself in powerful Durga form with her weapons. She may be a female, but she's able to fight. She showed that to a number of demons. That she could stand, hold her place in battle against any demon. And she's got her weapons. She's ready to use them. So comes as another demon, and he has attacked her, tried to kill her, and she, if someone attacks you, even if it's a person who should not be opposed, still if he attacks you, then you could defend yourself. So, therefore, Yogamaya is now prepared to defend herself. But actually, all she has to do is say a few words. She's showing herself, showing the weapons, and warning Kamsa, and then going off in the sky. She doesn't actually, it's not time to kill Kamsa, and Krishna wants to kill Kamsa with his own hands, in due course of time. Let Kamsa, this insignificant demon, second-rate demon, let him try to do whatever he can. You know, we'll not take up arms against him directly. We'll let him continue ruling in his Mathura. We're not going to oppose him directly, but if he sends anybody to try to kill us, of course we'll enter to. If he sends anybody here to try to disturb the Vrajavasis, I will defend them. Or my Vasudeva expansion, who's in my body, he will kill those demons. But we're not going to step foot out of Vrindavan until we have to. I'm going to enjoy my childhood here in Vraja. Nothing can stop us. Let Kamsa send all the biggest demons in the universe, and we'll just, swat them like flies. It's no problem. So, Yogamaya, she's also present in the Dham in her expansion of Devi. Along with Lord Shiva, they are the Dhampalas, the protectors of Krishna's abode. Lord Shiva is a present, especially in five forms? Four, five major forms of Lord Shiva, including the close one by here, Chakaleshwara, and Kundeshwara, Bhuteshwara, Mathura, Gopishwara. I don't know who else. Nandishwara.
Sometimes it's four, sometimes five.
Okay, but with Nandishwara makes at least five.
Yeah, usually five, but sometimes they don't include Nandishwara.
Okay.
It's another one. Anyways.
Okay, but he's here. And there are many thousands of Shivalingas also scattered throughout the Dham. Devi's also present. There are, especially the Brijavasis know where the Devi deities are, and they're always offering their obeisances. Protecting Krishna's abode from any intruders who will try to disturb. Visitors are allowed, but if you try to disrupt Krishna's pastimes, you'll be dealt with. Yeah. The protectors, the guards are here. These are Krishna's chokidars, Mahadev and Devi. Expanding from Devi is expanding from Yogamaya. Here she's got eight arms, ready to fight. But I'm sure it's still a very beautiful form. Yeah, describe the next verse. How beautiful she appears. Devi further expands herself, sometimes indeed more gruesome forms. to deal with really gruesome demons, he appears very gruesome, sometimes very ugly, terrifying. These forms are worshipped by certain people in the modes of ignorance. These are all expansions coming from Yogamaya. To deal with the modes of nature, she expands herself to reflect the modes of nature, including deep mode of ignorance, Chandika and others, gruesome forms of Devi. Even Shankaracharya, when he established his Panchopasana, worship of five different kinds of deities, according to each devotee's proclivity, in the worship of Devi, he tried to emphasize the worship of the forms of Devi who were not so ugly and gruesome. Shankaracharya. We have maybe a prejudice in ISKCON against Lord Shiva and especially Durga. Yeah, we think that Durga worship is something horrible and she's something, you know, we don't have anything to do with her. But she is direct expansion of Yogamaya. And here she is appearing in Krishna's pastimes. What should be the object of our dislike is the kind of people or the way that certain people approach her materialistically. It's the inappropriate worship of Durga. Just like Jatabharata was captured by, you know, very low-class men, dacoits, who wanted to use him as a human sacrifice to Bhadrakali. She was not pleased to accept that sacrifice. Instead, she came out of the deity form. The deity cracked, and Bhadrakali appeared with her lady associates and cut off the heads of all the dakus and drank their blood. Threw their heads around as balls. Prabhupada said that Durga doesn't actually eat meat. She's a vegetarian. And that the flesh offerings made to her, she just gives to the Buddhas and Pretas who follow her. That she doesn't eat flesh offerings herself. Anyway, for us, Lord Shiva and Parvati, we should be looking at their benign face and see and seeing them as the bestowers of devotion to Krishna. Just as the gopis, they approach Katyayani, another grand form of Durga with many arms. Deity is there somewhere? Katyayani? Vrindavan means Vrindavan city? Oh, who's Katyayani? Near Yamuna? Okay. And they did strict vrata to Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. We can also approach Lord Shiva and Parvati for devotion to Krishna. Since Srila Sanatana Goswami had a special relationship with Lord Shiva, and often he would like to keep his place of bhajan near Lord Shiva, just as he spent the last years of his life at Chakaleshwara, right next to Chakaleshwara Mahadev. So there's no reason why we have to be inimical to Lord Shiva and his wife. It's really not appropriate. Even to their devotees. If they don't give us trouble, we shouldn't give them trouble. Kamsa, she's playing with Kamsa now. She's warning him and showing her majestic form. Now Kamsa really has something to worry about. He was allowed by Yogamaya's arrangement, before she appeared visibly. This was all arranged by Yogamaya. But Kamsa was allowed to kill the first six sons of Vasudeva and Devaki. So he thought he had the upper hand. He thought, what can stop me now? I just get rid of this eighth child and then I'm free. Death will not get me. But now, because he must be some devotee of Durga, he's got very, just like other materialists in India, he's got a lot of respect for Devi. That's like people in the name of Devi, in the cities, they hold katas, or jagaranas. They spend money, actually they do it to raise money. They announce that we're going to have jagarana, all night glorification of Devi, staying up all night. They hire a band to play music and sing bhajans. And they take a lot of donations from people. They just said, you see on the street very often in Delhi, a little tent with a picture of Devi. You even see around here sometimes. People are collecting money for an upcoming jagarana. You know. And they make a lot of money that way, in the name of Devi, in the name of Durga. Kamsa also, like other materialists, has great respect for her. So when this baby girl showed herself to actually be Durga herself, you know, automatically showing her eight arms with eight weapons and flying up into the sky, I mean, this is unmistakable. Durga herself has appeared. So Kamsa has to take this very seriously. You know, he's struck with awe and reverence, and now he's terrified. When she tells him that the child is going to kill you is already born and is somewhere else, is out of your hands. You locked up his parents, you killed the other children, but this one slipped by you. Yeah. So beware, Kamsa. And Kamsa, after this, he's terrified. Big Kamsa, who terrified all the dynasty of the Yadus, now he's got a reason to be afraid. So, any questions or comments?
About Durga and Shiva and Lord Shiva, it seems that some Vaishnava devotees they like to stay in near the place of worshiping Shiva, and some, like in some parts I heard, like they were even not going in the temples. Some Vaishnavas they were avoiding before, like even they were avoiding to speak word Shiva.
Well, which Vaishnavas are those?
I don't know. I heard like that. They use to tell for the Sui. Yeah. They have under the Shiva thing, in Bandhavata Guja. So they were using kapta karta, like something like that, to make. They were avoiding word Shiva.
Okay, but I don't think in our line, you know, we may neglect the demigods because we're so fanatic about Krishna. And we're so busy with Krishna's service. And we're so busy with Sankirtan that we have no time to worship the demigods. We have nothing against them. Prabhupada Saraswati apologizes to the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, and the others. I'm sorry, we're just too enthusiastic about our kirtan. That we're just laughing in your faces. We don't mean anything by it. I'm sorry. You know, but I don't think it's the attitude of the followers of Lord Chaitanya to feel that kind of disrespect, that we won't even utter the name of Lord Shiva. Even Shankaracharya, we have nothing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't express anything personal against him. He acknowledged that this is the incarnation of Mahadev, who is the greatest of devotees, but we can't respect his philosophy. We don't take it personally. Whereas in the, I was told in the Madhva Sampradaya, they teach their children that when they go past stool, they should meditate on the face of Shankaracharya. We don't do that.
Yeah, I heard of that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described he was visiting Shiva temples. Like,
yes, he visited Kartikeya's temple, you know, so many temples.
So, one more thing, like, in which way, when we pray to Shiva, like, for the bhakti, in which way he's giving, like, blessings, that he's giving affection to Krishna, or, like, this attraction to the Maya material energy, in which way is an example of that? Like, suppose we are praying to Lord Shiva to help us in our devotion service to Krishna.
You're asking for renunciation too?
Renunciation to attract with material energy.
Okay, I'm not an expert in that. I don't know. It seems like both are good ideas, to ask him to get released from attraction to Maya and attraction to Krishna. He's got both of them. So. But I don't, you know, he might have to ask someone who actually has practice of that. I don't know.
I was just thinking, is there any example like in Shastra?
I don't remember right away. Yes?
Is there any purpose to ask the demigods for anything?
Is there any purpose? There's no need. We don't need to go to demigods. Just like you don't need to go to rich men, you know, to ask for money. But sometimes we do it anyway. Sometimes, you know, in general we don't need, but in specific situations we might need. You know, Krishna wants us to build a big temple. We're going to go have to ask big people for money. You know, for Krishna, not for ourselves. So maybe not for ourselves, we don't need to do anything with demigods, but maybe for Krishna's service, I don't know. You know, we want to establish a temple in a certain spot and we're having a problem getting the land, and Lord Shiva's temple is right next to it, so we might go to Lord Shiva and pray to him. Could you help us get this land? Yeah, it depends. You know, not for yourself, but for Krishna's sake, you might go to the demigods in some special situation. There's one similar case. Who was it? Oh, I don't know. It was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. Maybe Bhakti. No, I don't remember who. Who was visiting Bombay ISKCON? It was during the time that there was big struggle over the land. That the city municipality was trying to kick us out. And Tamal Krishnaraj was, you know, taking his deity darshan. And he was standing in front of Lord Ramachandra for a long time. And this sannyasi from the Gaudiya Math, senior godbrother of Prabhupada, asked Tamal Krishnaraj later, why did you spend so much time offering obeisances to Lord Ramachandra? You know, isn't our devotion primarily to Radha and Krishna? And Tamal Krishnaraj explained that I was praying, because I'm involved in this legal battle for Prabhupada. So I was praying to Lord Ramachandra to give me his weapons so I could fight. And then that godbrother realized, he said, oh, this is real Guru Bhakti. That he's going to, you know, the deity we don't normally focus our worship on, but was going for a special purpose, for his Guru's service. Okay. Yes, please. Yes. There is evidence that people could do that, and even recently, even nowadays, there are a few people who can talk in shlokas. Yeah, it can be done. Whether these are the original actual words spoken by everybody, and whether they're all in the same, you know, in this meter, and you know, exactly like this, I don't know. I mean, it's spoken, it's the narration by Shukadeva Goswami. And this is Smriti, not Shruti, technically. So Shruti Goswami is not obliged to repeat everything everybody said in exactly the same words. You know, this Bhagavatam is a poetic composition. So the liberty of the speaker is there, that he can reword it. So I don't think we have to assume that all these things that people said in the Bhagavatam were all spoken exactly in those verses, in verse 4. I can't say for sure, but I don't think we have to assume that it has to be like that. Okay? Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.